Blog Talk Radio.
Doing that a couple of times. Here we go.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on.
It is.
Here's Ron.
Here it is.
All right. Wow. I was just, while that was on, I was watching the live podcast go through on Facebook. And I have to say, if you all wanted yourself a good laugh, follow the show on Facebook and read the automatic generated captions.
Oh, no. What the heck? What in the world is going on?
But it just changes words. It's just like, you know, it doesn't know what a word is, and so it just throws anything out there, and it just it gets funny. It really does. So
great.
Yeah. So if you want to try to follow us and want a good laugh, then just tune in to the Facebook Live podcast and then just read the captions. Don't listen to me. Just read the captions. And you go, what? What's that? You know. So.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I was wondering what it said, because I have read it during the actual show itself, but never.
Oh, yeah.
Never was.
Well, the opening, too. It just, I've followed that a few times, and it changes stuff and makes up a word here or there or something. Coins a phrase, you might say. Yeah. Oh. Well, welcome to All About Wine. We are live. It is now Thursday evening, 7:02 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on July the 29th, 2021. So if you want to call us, then we're not going to answer, but you can text us, or you can write us, or you can leave a message, whatever, and we will answer your questions and comments and everything. And if you want to get a hold of me, you can always go to allaboutwine101@gmail.com, and I will get in touch with you and let you make comments or anything. And if you know anybody who wants to be on the show, or anybody who would like to be on the show, or anybody who knows something about wine or anything like that, then email us and we'll be in touch. We'll schedule a time when they can get on the program, which, like someone just did, we're going to have a guest. Hopefully in 2 weeks from tonight, we should have a guest. So we're making the plans and arrangements for that even as we speak. So
I went to an Italian restaurant last night over in Kissimmee, Florida, which is south of Orlando. It's called the Italian Joint. So you can imagine what they serve there. Yes, they do serve Italian food. It was very delicious. But on the door, they had a big sign on their door saying VIP wine tasting. And I thought, I thought it was that night, but apparently. And I got to tell you, the traffic in Kissimmee is the worst I think I've ever experienced.
In the whole wide world. I agree, in the whole wide world, the worst.
I have never – I was coming back from St. Cloud at some kind of TSA thing to get whatever they call it, the fast pass for TSA. And coming back, and I go, cut through Kissimmee and blah, blah, blah. And it took me through downtown, and I was like, this is really nice little downtown. Passed by the restaurant before I got hungry and ran into traffic, and that was when the problem started. So I already passed the place, and I reroute I was thinking, oh, let me go, you know, find a place to eat, and found one, and rerouting, you know, that kind of stuff. 6.5 hours later, I wind up back in downtown.
Oh, my God.
I think it took an hour to circle back around and get to it. John Young Parkway was messed up. All these little streets and stuff, I was taking back roads, and, you know, the stupid GPS was saying, oh, turn right. And I go, no, I don't want to turn right. I want to go this way. because it wanted me to cross over four lanes of traffic at a stop sign, and that's out of my vocabulary. I do not do that.
Oh, yeah.
And I look down the street, it wants me to turn on. I'm like, no, if it doesn't have a stoplight, I'm not dealing with it. So
exactly.
Driving,
especially in Kissimmee.
I know. Oh yeah, it's stupid. And it's a major road. It's the worst I've ever been. At first, I-4 got stuck in going to St. Cloud, and then coming back, it was like, oh, there's. I wanted to avoid I-4, so I thought, Kissimmee, fine. Oh, that was the worst. This place is a nice little place. There's parking up in front, you know, on the street, right in downtown Kissimmee. It's a quaint looking town downtown.
Yeah,
and
nice.
But it had this sign on there, and it is Wednesday, August the 18th. They have a professional sommelier. They have a live guitarist playing blues and, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's supposed to be a big deal there. But, VIP wine tasting if you're in the Kissimmee area. Do it. But 8 p.m., 8:30 p.m., I believe it starts. So you may want to start getting there like
noon.
12 noon.
Yeah.
And it's right there on Broadway in Kissimmee. And, you know, I didn't tell them I was going to say anything, but I was catching it, and I go, oh, my gosh, they have a wine, you know, and pretty interesting stuff. But really small, but very, very nice place. It was good.
That sounds like it'd be a good chance. Anybody in Central Florida coming up on, what, 3 weeks? Yeah, in 3 weeks. And that would be a great thing to do, because the little Italian restaurant probably is going to be pulling out some of their good Italian wines. And the sommelier can tell people about them and all that. That sounds like a great venue and a great opportunity.
Yeah. And reservations are required, so... And it is limited capacity. It's not a big place, but, you know, they have a few tables, but it's not that big. But they have a nice little bar, and they serve other types of drinks. But the wine, I thought, oh, that would be pretty good.
Name of the restaurant again is?
It is the Italian Joint.
The Italian Joint. Okay.
The Italian Joint Ristorante, and is right, or Pizzarante? Oh, I finished that part. Okay.
Pizzarante.
But, really, the food was great, but it was a little bit on the high side, I think, as far as it goes, but it's a good place. So,
I want to I want to revisit that traffic in Kissimmee. Took the Florida Turnpike. This was, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. And if you go straight ahead on the Florida Turnpike, it eventually dumps you into I-4. But what it does is it puts you almost north of Orlando. Then you got to come back. Mm-hmm. Well, I figured I would circumvent that and take 192. That was a mistake that I will never, ever do again. 192 cuts right through Kissimmee. Yeah. And, it took us 4 hours to get out of Kissimmee. It was a Saturday afternoon, and the traffic on every street was packed, and the GPS said, turn left up here. And it was like the GPS told me that a half a block from turning left, and I'm in the right-hand lane, okay? So you don't turn left. You turn right and cut around the blocks two or three times, come back and hit the light, then you go through. But it was unbelievable. Kissimmee is just – the traffic there is one of the worst I've ever seen in my life anywhere. You know,
yeah.
So
I hit it probably about 4:30, 5 o'clock on the way to St. Cloud, and it was just you might as well camp and just wait, you know, midnight one or so, and then make a run for it. But just ridiculous.
It is,
you know, something new, and you know, I never knew downtown Kissimmee looked like that. The historic district, I guess it is. I don't know, or maybe that's the main downtown. But
yeah, it's a neat little town. It really is. I mean, whenever like different places list quaint towns, they always, you know, Kissimmee's usually one of the, on the list. But boy, the traffic.
Well, those are people.
So...
Those are people who don't have to drive in Kissimmee.
There you go.
If they'd actually rate the town by, you know, driving, it would never make the list.
Never. They would have to blow it up and start all over, you know.
And then SunRail, going adjacent to the SunRail, I didn't know it went through, you know. I had never seen a SunRail train except on TV a couple of times, but all of a sudden this thing's just blazing down the tracks. Just
wow. And loud.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you're going, what was that?
Yeah. Every 5 minutes, one was going one way, one was going the other, and turn, and there's the track. And I thought, well, that's why we're kind of waiting. Also, we're waiting for this thing to go every five minutes. So,
and it stops all the traffic in all directions for it to fly by you. And, it's just unbelievable. You mentioned something there though that I have to address. You said you got a TSA pass. You going somewhere?
Yes, in September. When is it? September? I don't know. September 23rd, San Diego. I will give you some more info on that because it will more than likely affect my show appearance that week. Like the 23rd, 24th. I forget what day it is, but yeah, going there for a week. So.
There's all sorts of wineries there. Maybe you can check out.
Really?
Yeah. There's wineries around there. So go to Catch Wine in Southern California, San Diego, and see what's down there. Yeah.
Check it out. See if I can get away and check some California wines out. That would be. I mean, that's you know, way far from Napa, but you know, I'm sure they have something there.
They do. I know they do in that area. In fact, you're seeing different things pop up talking about wines around San Diego more and more. So so it might be something to check out. Well, you know, something to look forward to. We'll look forward to hearing more about your scheduled trip then coming up. And you mentioned your program. We haven't mentioned in a long time your radio show that you do. You still doing it on Saturday mornings?
Saturday mornings, 7 a.m. to 9 something a.m. Eastern time on Jetstream Radio. So that changed, but it's a really great following. I mean, I'm at the end of my little 2 hours, I'm like worn out because of, you know, chatting and, you know, talking to people and taking notes, and I'm like, oh my god, it's busy. I'm not used to that.
But, well, it was picking up before, but
Oh, this was from day one. It's been nonstop, and it's great. I mean, I love the interaction, and you know, I actually have that feedback and everything, and it's a good bunch. So yeah, really
and
good move there.
He plays request people, and he you know, and like he said, he chats with you, and he'll you know, engage with you and all that, and so Jetstream Radio. I think you got it. It's a free app. You don't have to pay for anything. It's a free app. You can download it. And Mike is on Saturday mornings, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So,
yeah, thank you. I listen to it on my phone on TuneIn, but they have TuneIn, and they have their own app for iOS. So if you're on an Apple user, they have it there and listen to it on the web. But big following. I mean, they have a – there's a ton of listeners on it.
And worldwide, too. I mean, it's not just, you know, American listeners. It's you were saying you get people tuned in from all over the world on that.
Yeah. Most of it's England and the UK, and then there's it goes all the way to Australia, which, by the way, is 14 hours ahead of us, I found out. So, come on, Ed. 7 a.m. our time is 9 p.m. their time the next day. No, it's the same day. No, it's the next day.
Yeah, that evening.
Wait.
Yeah.
12, 14. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that evening. But I was thinking the other way because I have a meeting with someone 7 p.m. my time on Friday, which is 9 a.m. the next day their time. And I'm having to convert that. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what do I tell them what time it is? Anyway.
Well, not unlike All About Wine, where we have listeners all over the world, but
that's true.
Engage in yours continuously. So that's cool.
A lot. Speaking of wine.
Yes.
Well, we talked about the tasting coming up.
Yeah.
And a live guitarist. Did I mention that? I don't know. I should have told him last night. He's like, hey, I'm going to talk about you guys. I wasn't thinking.
Before we go any further, I have to make a major apology.
Uh-oh.
When I got off the show last week, I sat here and I went back and I was starting to read some articles. And when I started to read one of the articles, I went, oh, my gosh, what a faux pas on my part. I had a major, major brain fart. I was talking about kava. Yes, I caught it, and I felt like jumping back on and hooking back up and saying, people, I'm sorry. But I waited patiently until this week. Last week, I was talking about kava and about how it was changing all that. And I mentioned kava was around the Champagne area, and you could, you know, it's almost as good as champagne, but, you know, it's not. Cava is Spanish sparkling wine. Nothing to do with the Champagne area. I was thinking Crémant, and that is around the Champagne area. Cava is Spanish. And once I realized my mistake, I went, oh, my gosh, I would be surprised if I didn't get a dozen emails saying, what the heck is wrong with you, guy? I don't know what happened with my brain. It didn't work right there. And so cava is Spanish. In fact, I'm going to address a little bit more about cava here, you know, during the show. But I need to apologize because I kept saying cava was around the Champagne region of France and it's on the outskirts and all that. That is Crémant. And Crémant, or however they pronounce it. And it's, you know, cava is Spanish. So please accept my apology. And if you went out and started talking about cava around the Champagne area this past week, based on what I said, and people started calling you an idiot, and you said, well, Ron said so. Ron was wrong. I made a boo-boo. So I wanted to get that out of the way. Before we go any further, too, Mike and I were talking before the show about the fact that we have not kept you up to date on some of our guests that we had toward the end of last year and some of the books and movies and things that they presented and were promoting, I guess is the best word for it. So I'm going to turn this over to Mike for a little bit, let him tell you about our list of guests we had last year and all the stuff that they have to offer.
I grab my list here, and there we go. I got my list and put the record on the turntable and the needle. Take a deep breath. All right, let's try this. Okay, back in October, co-directors Mark Johnson and Mark Ryan and writer Michael Karam were on the show October 8th, 2020. The movie Wine and War, The Untold Story of Wine in the Middle East, is about survival, resilience, and struggles.
Yep.
Wine has been in Lebanon culture for 7,000 years. They are raising money for CAPHO, a great organization, and you can go to wineandwar.com. Wineandwar.com. Click the Watch Now button, and that'll take you to where you need to go to watch it. On October the 15th, Jim Lochran was on the show. He's a certified wine educator and author. You can visit jimlochran.com. That's Jim, LAUGHREN.com. And he has two quick books right now out called The 15-Minute Guide to Red Wine, which is only 28 pages of good reading, and 15-Minute Guide to White Wine, which is another quick read and a handy reference to have as well. Check that out on Amazon. On October 29th, we welcomed Joy Neighbors to our Halloween special. She is the author of The Family Tree Cemetery Field Guide, How to Find, Record, and Preserve Your Ancestors' Graves, including topics to plan your trip to the cemetery, research, make sense of your research, and digging deeper into other records or preserving cemeteries. It's available at Barnes & Noble's, Amazon, and other outlets. On November 19th, we welcome Michael Brown, author of Pinot Rocks, and he's also a winemaker. The book is available on Amazon.com. Pinot Rocks is available in any format, and the audio format is great because William Shatner did the audiobook version of his book. That's right, Captain Kirk. On January 14th, we had a great conversation with Cap Kaplowitz, a podcaster and blogger of cigars, spirits, coffee, and wine. And All About Wine's own show host, Ron, is also the wine panelist on the show. For more information, visit kaplowitz.xyz. That's K-A-P-L-O-W-I-T-Z. .xyz. On February 11th, 2021, we had founder and producer of Beer, Wine, and Spirits, Jeff Bradford, on the show, the filmmaker dedicated to revealing the stories behind the labels of our favorite drinks. On February 25th, we welcome Natalie McLean, podcast host of the popular Unreserved Wine Talk. She's also an author of Red, White, and Drink All Over, and Unquenchable, a tipsy quest for the world's best bargain wines, plus several quick reads available on her website. She is also the wine expert on CTV's The Social, which is Canada's largest daytime television show, CTV News, and Global Television's Morning Show. You can pick up her Ultimate Food and Wine Pairing Guide for free by visiting her website at nataliemaclean.com/allaboutwine. That's Natalie, MACLEAN.com/allaboutwine.
Very good. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And that's been just some of the guests we've had over the 10 years that we've been on the show, 10 years plus, actually 11 years plus. Just some of the guests. Yeah. Those are the ones most recent. And those are all still available. So if you get an opportunity to get a chance, check any of those out. And I'm sure it will be an enjoyable view or read or whatever you happen to do. I received a postcard, which I thought was really cool. It is from a company called GoFermentor.com. And it's they're advertising an advanced wine fermenter. It automatically punches down, which means that whenever you have the juice sitting there with the skins and all that, it automatically punches it down to put so the skins just don't float on top. It mixes it up so it gives color. It's got a built-in press. You press a button and it presses out the wine. You don't have to do a separate cleaning or anything. There's no cleaning. It's a single-use liner. No wash or wastewater, and environmentally friendly. And it's a quick, easy setup. It's a 4-foot by 4-foot base, and you just plug the thing in to a 110 volt, and it takes care of itself. $2,970, which is the complete starter bundle. If you are a beginning winemaker and want to take care of everything in one big little package, that is the way to go. So just to let you know, you can get a hold of them at www.GoFermentor.com. They're located where? They're located all over the place, France, Australia, and Georgia, Texas, and New York. So, oh, wait a minute. No, not that. What is Australia, France, and U.S. Okay. So, I got that. And it's a really good little machine. If anybody's looking at making wine up to 150 gallons, which is you can make without the government coming in and arresting you for bootlegging. So, you can do that.
Do you age it and everything, or?
Yeah, it's all, it looks like it's all within the one thing here. Set schedule on your smartphone for it to punch down. Remote on monitoring app, either Android or Apple.
Yes.
And it yields up to 150 gallons.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really, really, I was quite impressed. And for $3,000, that's really a good price for what you're getting. Because if you buy the stuff separately that you need to do all that stuff, it's going to run into at least twice that. So it's they offer other stuff, too. They have a few other things. But that was really an impressive little machine they have there. So just... And they also sell the liner separately and the dip tubes and stuff like that. So, but anybody out there looking at making your own wine up to 150 gallons, that is a good way to do it. I mean, you can use it over and over again. It's not going to end up costing you money, and you know it's going to be clean and stuff, which is always a problem, too. Okay, now, I've got some stuff to tell you about here. We're finally getting into wine. It only took us a half hour, but we're finally getting into wine here. And let me pull these things up. Let's see. Nope, that's not it. That's it. There we go. All right. I said I was going to address Cava again. Now, Cava is a Spanish sparkling wine. The article that I was looking at was last week was Cava's last shot at survival. Cava, they're saying that Cava needs to rebrand itself. It is, well, the article went on to say that it has settled into a nice, cozy little spot that is not fanning it. It is something that's been there for a long time. People just sort of go to it, but they don't really seek it. And the article went on to say that they need to do that. So back in 2012, a group realized that it needs to be done, so they started to do more. And what they're doing is starting to designate more areas as Cava. They're starting to have stricter rules for Cava. They're starting to have higher end Cava. Instead of just the, you know, $10, $12 bottles, they're starting to put the regulations on it so that they can be aged more, or minimum age. The reserve wines must be aged for 18 months. All future Cava de Gordo Superior wines must be based on organically grown grapes. And they are coming out with a whole list of new guidelines and rules that they hope will result in making Cava premium. I hate to say premium because just changing the rules doesn't automatically make it premium, but it can end up with some top-end sparkling wine, and people realize that it is. They're looking at aging better, using different grapes, using some of the styles that has made different sparkling wines around the world good. And so they are approaching it that way. So Cava, that's Spanish sparkling wine. And it's a They're looking at changing their face. They've been settled into it, and it's been good for so long, but they want to make people notice them, and they figure that that's going to happen. Okay. And then this is another thing that Kaba, there we go, new rules for Kaba is coming into effect. In April, the Kaba DO, which is the DO is the designation for Kaba district. I don't know what exactly stands for. I probably should have checked that out before then. But the new DO comes into effect in April. Now, this is the first big shakeup of regulatory rules since the Kaba DO was first created 30 years ago. So this is, you know, quite a thing. Under the new regulations, new tiers of aged wines are being introduced. Kaba di Garda for Kabas that have been aged for more than 9 months, while wines aged more than 18 months will be known as Kaba di Garda Superior. Okay, these grapes for this top tier must come from wines that are at least 10 years old and grown organically with 5-year transition period and have quantity yields of a maximum of 10,000 kilograms a hectare. So they're really putting, I mean, all the way through, they're changing the standards for Kaba. The long age category will include a Kaba's Reserva, which is 18 months up from 15, and Grand Reserva, minimum of 30 months aging. And they also have a Kaba di Paresia Calificato, which comes from a special plot, and it has to be aged a minimum of 36 months. So, wow. They announced that by 2025, Kaba wines will be 100% organic, which is really quite a leap, quite a jump there. So, the Javier Pages, president of the regulatory board, said that it's something that needs to be done. It is the most demanding position regulation in the world for quality DO sparkling wines. Using the strict traditional method, and that it will place the Kaba DO at the forefront of quality of sparkling wine designations of origin. So, oh, there you go, DO, designation of origin. So, big shakeup on Kaba, but if you get Kaba, you know you're going to get some really, really good stuff, because they are really putting some effort into it and trying to give it a name. I mentioned last week that the tariffs have been settled, so we're not paying tariffs for the wines coming across. That has been going on for 17 years, and I said it was an airplane war. And it has been, basically. I found out what happened was that, let's see, I just saw it here. The EU was giving money. Oh, here it is. Airbus Boeing was getting money from the EU, and the United States was backing up. Well, Airbus rather was getting money, and the US was backing up Boeing, and so therefore it started this tariff war. I mean, you know, they weren't happy with the airplanes and what was going on there. So the dispute started, here it is. The dispute started in 2004 when the U.S. filed a complaint with the World Trade Organization about EU subsidies for Airbus. And then the EU said, no, you can't do that. I'm going to file a complaint against you about the U.S. aiding Boeing. And so the World Trade Organization ruled several times that essentially both sides were in the wrong. but the tariffs started anyway. And so also unresolved in the trade dispute with several countries over digital services taxes. That dispute has seen the U.S. impose tariffs on wine glasses from Austria, but not on the wine themselves. So your glasses may cost you more, but the wine itself is not being tariffed. So it's childish. If you ask me, it's childish. The whole thing is, you know, leave our wine alone. We don't want to pay more money because you're mad because somebody's subsidizing an airplane. We don't care. So, but the tariffs have stopped. It has stopped for, let's see, this is 2021, for 5 years. So in 2026, it is up to the president at that time to decide if he wants to just stop it or if he wants to start it again or whatever. So we will wait and see, but we've got ourselves a luxury of 5 years here without those silly games that they're playing. Okay, let me go on to the next one here. And this blind ambition. Oh, I told you about this last week. This is the Zimbabwe team on the Wine Olympics team. Now, this is really cool. WineAcuity.com, WineAcuity, WineAcuity.com is the United States link to the Wine Olympics. Zimbabwe came in and did a movie, actually. They a movie about it, and they told about how they were doing all that. But this is really cool. If you haven't checked it out yet, check out the WineAcuity.com website that tells you about, well, basically it's slanting toward the United States, but you can also go to club, clubolologique.com. And that will take you to the Zimbabwe site. And at the bottom of that, they also have a link to the Wine and War movie that Mike just was telling you about earlier. The film review and telling about that. So that's on that page also. But Wine Olympics, I never knew it existed until just last week, and we discovered that. And Mike found our WineAcuity.com. So it's cool. It's a cool site and a cool thing to check out. Okay, now let's see. What's this next one? Oh, here we go. We did an interview with Alabama Winery quite a few years ago. Jim Edens was our interviewer from Perdido Vineyards. There was a really good interview with him from a site called Uncharted Wines and Spirits. And this is a good site, by the way. Uncharted, UNCHARTED-wines.com. Check it out. They've got wine reviews, spirit reviews, cocktail recipes, different grapes, interviews, all that. It really is an interesting site, but check it out. But interviewed Jim Edens, or Edens, I think it's Edens, and it was really an interesting interview. He talked about fighting the government, and that's one of the things when we talked with him. He talked about fighting the government and how it went through and all that. And he talked about how the government has done things and what they've done to try to, you know, curtail wine sales. And said a winery moved out of Alabama and moved just across the border into Florida because of Alabama's laws. They said that the some costs of the taxes back in 2001, the government repealed the 1979 Farm Winery Act. And so immediately taxes went from $25 a year to $10,000 a year, which, you know, just eliminated wineries and all that. And it just is really an interesting interview. He talks about what he's been doing all the years and how he's been fighting stuff and how he's been trying to make it fair within the state of Alabama. And he's an old Marine who retired from the Marines, and he is a big, big advocate of muscadine wine. He said it's the American wine, our American grape, and we really should embrace it and make wines out of it and have it become number one. Why are we wasting our time on these French hybrids when we should be doing our own? And so he goes on about that for a while here, but it's a good interview. Really check it out. Uncharted-wines.com. And you can look under the post where it says interviews. It's pretty long, but it's an easy read. And Jim Edens of Perdido Vineyards. And after you read that, you can also go back to the archive of us interviewing him, and really is a good tie-in with the two of them if you do it that way. Okay. Let's go to this one. Chianti Classico. Chianti Classico is a small region in Italy. A small region. I mean, it really isn't an enormous region, as most of these areas are. But Chianti Classico is dividing up into subzones, or UGAs, they're calling it, which actually stands for, and I will destroy this for you, but, you know, Unita Geographic Agglutinative, or Additional Geographical Units. That's what it's translated as. And it's going to name new areas that can produce Chianti Classico. And there's 500 Chianti Classico producers voted 90% in favor of this proposal. So this is going to happen. The Black Rooster is a legend of Gallo Negro logo. The Chianti Classico is allowed the Black Rooster on the bottles. And so this is going to distinguish and show people. And it has. I mean, if you are looking for Chianti Classico, you'll see it on the bottles. In fact, Mike mentioned going to an Italian restaurant. We went to a little local Italian restaurant called the Leaning Tower here. What was it? A week and a half ago. And we had some Chianti there, and it had the rooster on it. I mean, it was actual. It shows you the Chianti Classico with that rooster on it. It's just sort of a cool way to designate that it was official, legitimate. The UGA project has been a priority for the last 3 years for the Chianti Classico region. And it has grown to the point now where they are ready to put it into existence. At first, it was a challenge, they're saying, and they had to divide it up and keep everybody happy, which, you know, you can't keep everybody happy. But the article said that they did a pretty good job of keeping everybody happy. It's positive for the entire denomination. It will help explain the diversity, they're saying, and it will also give people an opportunity to start understanding the different areas instead of just looking at County Classical as one big old area that does these grapes. They'll be able to refer to the differences in the expression and the way the wines are made and all that, instead of just saying, well, this is a Chianti from this area and that's it. County Classical members have voted to accept changes to the grape variety regulations too within the Grand Selezione category. The minimum requirement for Sangiovese has been increased to 90% from 80%, which that's a lot there. I mean, the remaining 10% is limited to grapes that are native to the County Classical area. And there is 6 of them listed here. And international grapes like Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot will no longer be permitted. So this is new specifications apply strictly to the Grand Selezione and not extend to the Riserva or the Annata wines. So it's a higher Sangiovese, and you're going to be able to tell the difference in it, too, in the taste and all that. The majority of County Classical Grand Selezione wines already conform to these regulations. There are some outliers that are going to have to come up to the standards because of the areas that they want to continue being the County Classical. So it's just new regs and new standards that they're doing. Some of the winemakers were trying to pass the 100% Sangiovese, but that has, well, because of climate change and because of variances in the weather and all that and everything, they felt it was going to be too restrictive. And so they decided not to go 100%. They're taking it down to the 90%, which is still pretty restrictive. And the final step now is earning the approval by the Minister of Agriculture in Rome, which could take up to a year. But that's a formality. And the hard part, they're saying it's done. You're probably going to be seeing new regulations in the County Classico by 2023. So there you go. It's I thought that was interesting. County Classico is a nice wine, nice taste. And if you're not familiar with it, you really should get yourself familiar. Okay, let's go to the next one here. And this is champagne. Booming champagne. Quick read here, quick info for you. Champagne is coming back. And I say coming back simply because it took a nosedive during the COVID. It was down in almost all categories in COVID. The worst month was the 20, where champagne sales dropped by 67.9%. Wow, that's a lot. The next month, 55.9%. It just, for some, well, people not going out. No reason to celebrate. No reason to pop open a bottle of good bubbly. So they didn't. Now, there's reason again. April of this year, well, let's start March of this year, jumped up by 33%. April of this year, champagne sales jumped up by 200.1%. And in May, 155.5%. So it is making a comeback. People are starting to buy champagnes again. And I'm sure along with that, they're starting to buy other sparkling wines. One of the things that hurt, though, the economy has been great everywhere on Champagne, but the Suez Canal blockage, I'm sure you remember that when the boat went sideways in the Suez Canal, that hurt because Champagne was being shipped and they had to sit out in the water for a while, and it's not good because they were concerned about heat and the time is taking all that. Usually it's a quick ride through the canal and you're there. So, but they survived that, and Champagne was 25 million bottles. 25 million bottles after World War II, and in over 65 years, it has gone to 300 million bottles a year. So it's coming back to normal levels before the COVID now, and people are starting to purchase champagne again, the true champagne. And again, I think all sparkling wines are probably in that category, not just champagne. Okay. This is something that, you know, if you're interested in something like this, this is a fun little book to read. There's a new book out by a couple of guys in New Zealand, Ian Harvey and Dion Mundy. It's Grapevine Diseases of New Zealand, and is dedicated to the identification and management of grapevine diseases in New Zealand. I get a chance to look at some of the articles and stuff in that book. I was able to get a preview, and interesting, really interesting. They illustrate, there's photographs all over the place. They show the diseases, they show what causes it. About a fungus or fungi that they show, and it's really it's becoming a great teaching book in New Zealand, and a lot of those diseases apply to grapevines everywhere, not just in New Zealand. So a great little book. It's what is the actual name of it? Book of Grapevine Diseases of New Zealand. Now, I guess that's the name of it. Grapevine Diseases of New Zealand. Just if you're interested in that stuff and what can affect grapevines, it's a constant battle. You probably don't notice it. I mean, vineyards are constantly battling all sorts of stuff, anywhere from bugs to mildew to all. Well, you name it, fungus and everything else, and just all sorts of organisms can hit a grapevine and or the grapes. And this book talks about them and how to manage them. So I thought it was interesting myself. But, of course, I've been in this business and done this, so of course I will think it's interesting. Okay. This next one here is... here we go. This grapes and herbicide drift. I've talked about this before. There has been lawsuits around the world because of it. And it's something that is in the news again here. This is out of Washington State. Said that you have to be careful. It's been windy all around the country. The heat has been holding stuff in, but the wind drift and stuff, and the herbicide drift that can cause injury to grapes is something that is very serious. They're warning everybody, be sure you do not spray during a time when there's any bit of wind at all, because it could drift. Last year, was it, or year before last, a vineyard in France sued neighboring vineyard or neighboring crop because of drift from spraying there, and got onto the grapevines and killed a bunch of grapevines. So it's a serious thing, but this is something I haven't seen brought up for a while. It's something that in the industry is something you really have to be cautious of, not just on what you're spraying around for yourself, but also what you're spraying around for, well, you know, what's spraying on anyone else. This is something I didn't know about. Sudden vine collapse. I hadn't heard of sudden vine collapse. I don't know why, but it's hitting not just, well, it's Central California. Too late. It just, a year ago, a team of researchers at the University of California, Davis, were trying to understand what this sudden vine collapse was. And I don't know the full extent or the cause. A year later, some progress is being made, but it's still unexplained as why patches of grapevines are collapsing without apparent reason. Some growers are losing as much as 30% of their vines over a year. And, you know, a loss of vines can be expected, but 30%, these are stunted, dying, or dead vines. And it's, they don't know why. It's just alarming, they're saying. Initial analysis a decade ago turned up as specific pathogens, but it's not consistent throughout the vineyard or anywhere. It's just certain vines here and there, and it shows leaf row virus, which can take a toll and all that. But this sudden vine collapse is something that is concerning to a lot of vineyards because they still don't know what it is. It has been found and documented throughout the San Joaquin Delta and the coastal counties, which, you know, Monterey, Paso Robles, stuff like that, Modesto, Fresno, Tulare, Kern counties. Some cases, the patches are so large that it can be seen by the Google Earth satellite. It's not just, you know, two or three vines, but a big bunch of the vineyard. They're trying to find out what is causing it. They don't know. They're saying virus-sensitive rootstock are predisposed to root stress, which could cause some of this, but they've changed rootstock, and some of these vines aren't all on the same rootstock. It is different ones that are being tested and different ones that it's showing up on. No cure for the grapevine viruses now or in the foreseeable future, says Dr. Stephanie Bolton, who is at the Lodi Wine Growers Association. There's financial assistance through the USDA, but you need to remove the leaf row virus-infected vineyard before you can put a new one in, and it takes time to grow a new one. So it's a concern. I will continue to monitor this for you and let you know what's going on, but this is something I just heard about. I didn't know this was happening with the grapevines. This is dated here July the 20th. 24th. So just a few days ago. So I'll try to keep my eye on this situation of sudden vine collapse. Don't know what's causing it or what it is. So I'll make a note of that and we'll follow that up in the future here. Okay. Let's see. A new sparkling, the story of Champagne, new film to be released. This is wine and film fans in the UK will be able to see Sparkling, the story of Champagne in select theaters now. And the U.S. debut is planned for August the 13th. And it's a documentary film set to launch in several other countries, too. And it is a promising plenty of anecdotes and a few revelations about France's world-famous Champagne. So it should be an interesting movie. It says to go in to a behind-the-scenes footage and talk about the Champagne business and how it's made and interviews with people and all sorts of stuff. It looks interesting. I'm personally looking forward to it. It seems like it could be a very interesting movie. It is available in England now. I think they said Australia too now, but not yet in the United States. Release in Australia and New Zealand is already out. And the U.S. and Scandinavia is set for August. And then Israel, it should hit them in sometime in September. So, new movie about Champagne called Sparkling, The Story of Champagne. And it says here, and I just saw something I wanted to pass on, yeah. Here we go. Journalists Don and P.D. Kladstrup, who are the authors of the book Wine and War, are interviewed about this. So this should be interesting, too, the ones that we talked to. So this is a new movie coming out about Champagne. Like I say, I'm looking forward to it. It looks like it could be a very informative book if you want to know more, or movie, if you want to know more about Champagne. Without a doubt, this is the movie that you need to see. 88 minutes running time, so not quite an hour and a half. But Sparkling, The Story of Champagne is the name of it. And let's see, where is something else here? That... where is it? Well, I had a note here and I can't find where it is. Oh, there it is. New round of battles with the glassy winged sharpshooter. Oh my gosh, it just won't go away. The glass winged sharpshooter is now in San Joaquin Valley 20 years ago, and they've held the line, but it's starting to pick up again. And they said they can't stop. It is something that they have to continue to monitor. In Temecula, thousands of acres were affected by the glass-winged sharpshooter transmitting Pierce disease, and it's getting worse. It's an infestation as far north as Sacramento County that were caught early and stopped, but San Joaquin Valley and the treatment efforts were aimed at suppression, not eradication, because there have been so many there. So it has been an ongoing problem. But Pierce disease and glass-winged sharpshooter raising its ugly head in California, even more so. We here in the southern states know how that is. We battled it and we're doing it all the time, but it's just starting to wear on them in California continuously, and it's not done yet. So let's see what. Okay, I want a couple more things I want to talk about here before we leave for this. Let's see, is that the one? Yeah, I think so. Yes, here we go. Florida retailer asked Supreme Court to review adverse Eighth Circuit decision upholding Missouri's retail shipping laws. This caught my eye because I'm from Missouri and I live in Florida. What's happened is the Supreme Court ruled a while back that you can't limit in state shipping from other states because it's against the Commerce Clause. Well, a Missouri 8th Court said, no, you can. We aren't allowing different states to ship here. Florida says, what? That's not right. You should, because the Supreme Court says you should. And the Missouri court says, well, I don't care what the Supreme Court says. This is our rule. So they're asking, Florida's asking the Supreme Court to rule again on this and to slap the hand of Missouri and say, hey, you know, when we say something, that doesn't mean that you can just change the rules again. And so that's what we're looking at. It's ongoing, always ongoing. There's always something. And it's, this one is Florida wanting to ship stuff into Missouri. Missouri is saying, no, you can't because we're not going to let you. And Florida is saying, well, the Supreme Court says we can. And Missouri says, I don't care what the Supreme Court says, we're not going to let you. So September, they're hoping that the courts will hear it, but you never know. The Supreme Court decides on just so few cases, and when they do, they... But this might make it, because it's a lower court going against what the Supreme Court said that they should be doing, and that might make a difference if them listening to it sooner or not. So, but in the past 9 years, here you go, there have been over 2,000 changes to state alcohol laws around the country. So, you know, it's an ongoing thing. It's something that, you know, people have dedicated their whole lives to following up on this stuff and doing this stuff. We're not going to, but I'll pass on the bit of information that I can get on this. So there we go. We're some information tonight to
quite a bit
inform you.
All right. As it seems to be customary every week, I did disconnect again. So
did you? I don't see you because I'm, you know.
Yeah, you're on another screen. Yeah, YouTube and Facebook took a little time out for 30 seconds or less and joined right back in again. So here we are.
Wow.
Yeah. Know what's going on. But, oh, well. Great technology we have.
Yeah.
So,
wow, that's just amazing. It just seems like y'all don't notice it, but every week Mike tends to leave us for a minute or two and then come back. And, you know, it's like he's got to take a potty break or something. I don't know. It's just one other thing here I want to talk about quickly. They ask Wine Pros, I say they, this is what magazine, what article is this out of? This is out of Vine Pair. Vine Pair does a whole bunch of stuff on wine, but they asked a bunch of polls, what are the worst trends in wine right now? And these are directors of liquid at restaurants. These are sommeliers around the country. These are vice presidents and presidents of shipping companies and masters of wine. And, you know, people with all the little letters after the name of all the stuff that they have earned. And the worst trends in wine right now is hating on natural wine. And people do. They hate natural wine. And natural wine is basically wine. It's natural. Worst trend right now, diet wine. Yeah, really. Wine apps. Ooh, they don't like wine apps. Low carb and low sugar wines. Confusion about the term red blends. Manufactured in wine. Clean wine. Natural wine without a holistic approach. Complicated corkscrews. And finally, wine professionals who don't consider budget. So that's just what they're saying, that right now these are the worst trends. There's some of those in there that I have to give a big thumbs up to, but it's the worst trends in wine right now. So I wanted to throw that out. That was just a quick one there.
Yeah, absolutely. We are at 8:10 p.m. on July the 20th. Yeah, we will went into overtime.
Well, we talked a little bit at the beginning, so yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. It was, you know, a lot of the beginning was not about wine, but that happens sometimes. Many times. We will return just the 5th, which is a week from today, August the 5th, and 7 p.m. Eastern Time again. And as always, thank you for joining us and tuning in. And if you have any comments or feedback, please do email the show. That goes right to Ron, but you can email anytime, allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And if you need to miss it, if you missed it for some reason, you just play it back over and over as many times you need to get the email address. Yeah, just do that. Contact the show, and, you know, let's see if we can. All right, I will.
And if
Ron,
if you're not following us on Facebook, do so.
Yeah.
We never tell you to, but yeah, follow us on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, online BTR on both of those.
Yeah, we don't flood you with stuff. It's just you know, just punch a like in there and follow us.
Yeah, it's show announcements, and every once in a while I'll put something on Facebook, some kind of thing I found.
Me too. So, yeah, every once in a while I'll throw something up there. Yeah.
Yep. Anytime you hear him say, "Oh, I'm going to post this article," and then there it is.
Yeah.
Stuff you need to know more about. So. Yeah, do it, and we'll see you all next week. Thanks again. Have a safe weekend and a week ahead, and return with us next Thursday. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Be safe.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine.
All About Wine.
Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
All About Wine.
I guess we're up. Okay. Oh.